This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com. You know, I want to say something too, so people understand that when we've done, you know, some people are saying, well, Bradley, that was a little harsh or whatever the case was. Keep in mind that this is a ministry that had to raise money to do high school assemblies, okay, which had nothing to do with us. And when a ministry is asking for money, my objective here, and we went into ministry, by the way, saying, Lord, we're not going to be a begging ministry. We want to produce fruit in the response of what we're doing. So people see, not that we're working for men, but we want to make sure that people see that they're bearing fruit through the ministry that they're supporting. That's what we do. That's why we're always out there. Again, I guess this is a time for a different show, but don't sit there and play the victim on me, because I know what it's like to be there. As a matter of fact, Isaiah 51 verse 1 tells us, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord, look to the rock from whence you were hewn and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Oh, I know what it's like. I know what it's like. And it's interesting how we went from one topic in feeding the people to now going to one person. I'm not going down that road, so we're going to move on, period. Okay? What I want to do is I want to get over to the main topic again in highlighting the likes of a Martin Luther. And it's interesting how, this fits in perfect with the conversation that we've been having over the last hour. How with me in this ministry, it's very black and white. Because I can't see a gray area in Scripture. As a matter of fact, it says either you're hot or you're cold in Revelation 3. He said, because if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I see a lot of people in the church in America today, they like to, it's called deconstructionism. They like to take the word and then someone asks them, what is your opinion? What are your thoughts about this particular Scripture? And it's interesting how they always pull the cross away from what God plainly said. And it bothers me greatly. Because if everybody held to the word uncompromisingly, we wouldn't be in the particular situation that we're in today. And that's the truth of the matter. What we have is we have a bunch of diplomats, first-hand experience, by the way, I can tell you that. A bunch of diplomats in the church fraternizing with the enemy, because as long as there's gain to be made, they don't care about righteousness that Jesus died on the cross to establish through his church and through Christians. And I see a lot of that going on as well. But let me just bring this back to Martin Luther, the great reformer. And I want you to remember before we get going, it's interesting how men today love to praise the dead saints. Oh, they love to talk about the dead saints. They love to praise dead saints. But you know what they do to the living ones? They persecute them. Yep, that's right. They praise the dead ones while they persecute the living ones. That's right. You better be careful with what you say and how you say it. When people come up and they say certain things, you better understand whose message it is that you're critiquing. That's dangerous, not for the person so much that you're talking to, but for yourself. Because the message is being given to you, because that person given it should have already received that message as a blessing and not a curse. But Martin Luther said this. He said, I am rough, boisterous, stormy, and altogether warlike. He said, I'm born to fight against innumerable monsters and devils. I must remove stumps and stones, cut away thistles and thorns, and clear the wild forests. Boy, You know, here's the truth of the matter, friends. If Paul walked into a church today, the guy that was inspired by the Holy Ghost to write two-thirds of the New Testament, if he came in and preached in a pulpit today, he'd probably get thrown out within 5 to 10 minutes, if that. That's how filled with the Holy Ghost that he was. The Holy Ghost comes to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Not to compromise, not to play the diplomat, not to seduce, but to convict you of sin, to bring forth godly repentance. Right? Acts 20, verse 21. Let me ask you another thing. Why was Jesus crucified? If Jesus came about and preached the message the way that most preach the message today in America, he would have never been crucified. So the question that needs to be begged here is, I'm asking you, why was he crucified? Why were 11 of the 12 disciples, why were they martyred if they're preaching the gospel the same way that you see it being preached in America today? And yet you look at the preachers today as they call themselves. Many of them are hirelings. They have no business being in the pulpit. They're not ordained of God. They're ordained of men. They're money makers is what they are in many cases. And that's all they are. And they intend to stay in business as long as they can keep making money. But friends, the question again that needs to be begged is, why is it that the spirit of the age, which has not changed, why is it that the church has changed? Because you don't see in the pulpits in America today, very far and few between, especially those that are known among us, go online, do a Google search on them. Everything's hunky-dory with them. They got these pictures of themselves with these big smiley faces. All is well, and they're worth millions of dollars. But you go to these little churches all across the United States of America, which, by the way, are the unsung heroes that are preaching the Word of God uncompromisingly. They are the ones that are responsible for you holding ground here in the United States of America. It's not the big ministries. Again, let me tell you firsthand experience. I'll tell you more about it as things transpire. I cannot go any higher in the American church than I've already gone, and I can tell you exactly what the problem is. I can tell you they're asleep. They're trying to maintain what they think they've got. By the way, there's no luggage racks on top of a hearse. Paul said, "I came into the world with nothing, and I'm going to leave the world with nothing." He said, "Naked," in some translations as well. But why is it that today, if a preacher says something and it offends you, all of a sudden there's something wrong? I'm going to tell you why. Because they love Aaron and they hate Moses. That's why. See, they love the churches where they're being entertained all the way to hell because they don't want to hear the unadulterated word of God, which is there to bring forth godly repentance and salvation at the end of the day and growth in grace and continuously exhort them. But how does that come? Well, Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God for what? For doctrine. For reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, the very things that are left out of every, virtually, literally, friends, across the country, virtually every sermon that you hear from these big churches, you will not hear reproof, correction, or instructions in righteousness. No, they always try to play your emotions, okay? And keep in mind, your emotions got to go. They got to go to the cross right along with everything else, friends, until we're born again of the Holy Ghost, John 3:3. We're going to come right back. I'm going to identify some God-sent prophets and showing you characteristics. We'll be right back.
Ready to set brush fires of freedom in the minds of men? Well, start your engines with some high-octane truth-telling on the Sons of Liberty Morning Show. We'll bring you news and commentary from a Christian worldview using the Bible and the Constitution. Not to see who's on the right or on the left, but who is on the straight and narrow. Get on the inside track every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern and Saturdays at 8 a.m. Eastern on SonsOfLibertyMedia.com.
Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty are fighting the good fight of faith to make sure that freedom is preserved for our posterity for generations to come. Through our radio program, sonsoflibertyradio.com, and our media website, sonsoflibertymedia.com, we are reaching the masses both nationally and internationally with the message of the gospel and the truth of our biblical and constitutional heritage. At sonsoflibertyradio.com, you will find out how to book Bradley Dean to speak at an event near you, how you can support us in reaching America with this uncompromising message, and how to become a son or daughter of liberty, where you can financially support the work of the Sons of Liberty on a monthly basis and join with us in this fight to restore our nation. Check out sonsoflibertymedia.com as well, which has all the important news and information going on in the world today. There you will find the black and white truth without all the lies you'll see in the mainstream media. sonsoflibertyradio.com and sonsoflibertymedia.com, informative, easy to use, and a little fun too. Two sites that will change your life. Visit them today.
It's a jungle out there, disorder and confusion everywhere. No one seems to care. Well, I do. Hey, who's in charge here? Yeah, it's a jungle out there, and you need Wisconsin Christian News, a Christian newspaper that is not just filled with poetry and recipes. We print the truth, and we're not afraid to do it. If you're sick of the nonsense, subscribe today. You need this. I could be wrong now, but I don't think so. WisconsinChristianNews.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, folks. We're going to get over to this in a moment. I'm just highlighting some of the characteristics of those that men praise today. But interestingly enough, I was just highlighting Martin Luther, and yet if Martin Luther was still alive, he'd still be being persecuted by the same cowards that have been persecuting him. Matter of fact, there's some circles of people that still hate Martin Luther. But friends, we need to understand, if it wasn't for Martin Luther, I'm talking about the great reformer back in the 1500s, you would not have your religious freedoms today. He was the one that was he was the golden goose, friends, that was prophesied by John Huss on the stake. If you don't know the back end story on that, do your homework. My goodness, look at the price again, friends. Someone had to pay the price to give us what we have today. You know, when you look at a Wesley, a John Wesley, who said, you know what, he preached 90% law, 10% grace. He also said, listen, during his course on evangelism, he said, either people are going to get mad or they're going to get saved. He said, there's no in between. He said, either you're going to get mad or you're going to get saved. There is no in between. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting how William Booth, when he first got into ministry, England tried to ostracize him. I mean, they were, that was a real ministry, Salvation Army was, from its inception. Not to what you see today. Oh my goodness, it's fallen from grace in a big way. But if you look at the way that William and Catherine Booth established that, this is the guy that said, in order to change the future, you're going to have to trouble the present. You're going to have enemies. Okay? And look at the men. Oh, by the way, when you look at their pictures, they're not smiling. They look like they've been through hell, literally. And we do a whole show on that. Just how they're trying to constantly break down these radicals for who they really were. And trying to make them so they're not radical to fit the spirit of the age. Understand? They want to keep breaking them down so they look just like them. And that's just not how it is. As a matter of fact, let's go over to just, let's say, the gift of the apostle. The apostle is one that is sent. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:28, first the apostle, then the prophet, then the teacher. Okay, so you look at Paul, two-thirds of the New Testament. I want to go over here. I have to do this because I think people have lost understanding as to the things that Paul actually went through in giving us the things that we have today and what he actually suffered. Oh my gosh. And this is no light price that was paid, again, concerning what it is that we have today concerning the gospel. But I think if I put this into perspective for you, I think it will give you an understanding as to why things are so backwards. I'm thinking of Philippians 3 even now that we're talking about it. But let me go over to 2 Corinthians. And I want you to hear what Paul went through. And compared to what you see today in America, it's a completely different message, folks. And I'm going to 2 Corinthians 11 right now. And here we go. You ready for this? This is the guy that wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. And put this up against what you see today in the modern church, okay? He said, of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes except one. What was he preaching, folks? That's what I want you to ask yourself. He said, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Those are the ones that were responsible for putting him in the position that he was in during these experiences in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 27, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Put this up against the modern day preachers, friends. Okay, driving around in their brand new Mercedes-Benzes. They're asking you to give up their yours so they can have more. So they can have a third home. So they can have a Learjet. You know this is true. Matter of fact, Kenneth Copeland, he's tipping right now on billionaire status. And people keep supporting that, right? Put this up against Kenneth Copeland, that whole movement, okay? Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Besides of all of those things that come upon me daily, the care of all of the churches, okay? That's an apostle. Now, when you go to the prophet, I want you to understand the characteristics and putting that in the light of what Paul went through as an apostle. And you can only imagine the characteristics, because when you look at a Martin Luther back in the 1500s, he really was an apostolic prophet is what he was. So he was operating in both capacities that God ordained, both apostolic and prophetic. So let's go over there really quick. When you look at the characteristics of a prophet, let's highlight what Leonard Ravenhill characterized as a prophet and put this up against the American false prophet, the Mark Taylors of the world. The list goes on. I'm just thinking of all these other false prophets. They're all over the place. They're saying peace, peace when there is no peace. Hey, folks, it's amazing to me how we hear these false prophets and people take heed to them when what we see is a world at war with God. And somehow or another, these false prophets come over and roll over the top of their conscience and putting them back to sleep. The only reason that that happens is because those people are not reading the Word of God. They're listening to a false prophet. And what is the characteristics of these false prophets, friends? Oh, they're your best friends. They'll listen to you all day. They got a big smile on their face. Nope. Nope. Never trust them as far as you can throw them, friends. Because they're putting you back to sleep. If they're not putting you to your obligations concerning God's commandments, look the other way and get away as fast as you possibly can. Put that up against Isaiah 8:20 and 1 John 2:4. Okay? Here's the function of the prophet. This is according to Austin Sparks. He said, the prophet has almost always been that of recovery. He's always looking for reformation. He's looking, in the way that you bring forth reformation, or recovery, I'm sorry, is that of justice. And the only way that you can bring forth justice in righting the wrongs is knowing God's moral law, which Jesus came to establish through faith. Romans 3:31. Okay? This is what he said. He said, the prophet is God's detective asking or seeking for a lost treasure. He is. He wants to know the God, just like Gideon did in Judges 6. He wanted to know the God that Moses talked about and his forefathers talked about concerning all the miracles and the things that he did bringing them out of Egypt. Gideon wanted to be a part of that. And well, interestingly enough, at the end of his life, Gideon knew the God of Moses, didn't he? Because he adhered to the God of Moses and he did what Moses did. And Gideon was a prophet. The prophet is God's detective seeking for a lost treasure. He wants righteousness to be reestablished. Put that up against Isaiah 51, verse 4. He said the degree of his effectiveness is determined by his measure of unpopularity. Put that up against a false prophet. False prophets, what do they want to do? Well, they got to maintain their what? Their reputations. Yet the Bible clearly tells us that Jesus made himself of no reputation. Put that in the face of what you see today. Okay, going back to the characteristics of a prophet. Okay, compromise is not known to him. He has no price tags. He's totally otherworldly. He is unquestionably controversial and unpardonably hostile towards sin and those that choose to commit the act. Deuteronomy 30:19. A prophet marches to another drummer. He breathes the rarefied air of inspiration. He's a seer who comes to lead the blind. He lives in the heights of God and comes in the valley with a, thus saith the Lord. And by the way, real prophets are also characterized from false prophets throughout Scripture. Ezekiel 13, Jeremiah 23. You can also go over to that of Micah 3:5. You can go over to Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13, the whole chapter. Okay, so the Lord is very clear as to what a real prophet is and what a false prophet was or is. Okay? A real prophet's going to call you out and he's going to talk to you. He's not going to talk around you. That's how people don't get saved, right? He shares some of his foreknowledge of God and is so aware of impending judgment, he lives in splendid isolation. He is forthright and outright, but he claims no birthright. His message is repent, be reconciled to God, or else. He follows and holds to the law and the prophets, and he holds to the word of God without compromise. Talking about the characteristics of a prophet right now, and asking you the question that you have to answer. Why were these men persecuted by other men, and why were 11 of the 12 disciples martyred? What message were they preaching? We're going to come right back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
First Lady Jill Biden met with Ukrainian refugee students and their mothers at a school in Bucharest. It's part of a four-day trip to Eastern Europe. Biden says she remains concerned about the next phase of the humanitarian crisis that keeps going on and on. Nearly 6 million Ukrainians have fled the country since the war began. Meanwhile, the fighting continues. Russian cruise missiles were fired at Odessa, and they bombarded the steel plant in Mariupol, where civilians and Ukrainian fighters are believed to be housed. Preparing for increased attacks from the Kremlin as V-Day draws near, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is urging residents to heed the air raid warnings. Alabama authorities say the car used by an escaped inmate and missing jail official was located in Tennessee last Friday. Lauderdale County Sheriff Rick Singleton said the local authorities located the car before they knew the two went missing. This is USA Radio News. South Korea says North Korea flight tested a ballistic missile that was likely fired from a submarine. The South Korean Joint Chiefs of Staff says the launch occurred from waters near the eastern port city of Sinpo. Pyongyang has a major shipyard building submarines there. South Korea says the short-range missile flew almost 400 miles, but did not immediately provide details about the submarine that would have been involved in the launch. Authorities in Havana are still digging through the rubble.
At least 22 people are dead after an explosion at a Cuban hotel. Officials say Friday's explosion at the historic Hotel Saratoga in Havana appears to have happened after an accidental gas leak. The Cuban presidential office says rescue efforts are still ongoing, but so far at least 74 people are hospitalized, including 14 children. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Wall Street had its fifth straight losing week. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com. We're up on the top left sides of sonsoflibertymedia.com. Subscribe to that page and or beforeitsnews.com, top left side of the page. If you want to call in, please do. Please stick to the topic, 1-866-582-9933, 1-866-582-9933. So we're talking about the preachers, the patriarchs of the faith, that preached the word, namely the 11 of the 12 apostles that suffered martyrdom, putting that message up, asking the question, what message was it that they preached that they created so much hostility in the people that they actually martyred them? They speared them. They put them in boiling oil. They crucified them. Some upside down. You know, it's interesting. It's said in the Fox's Book of Martyrs that Andrew said when it was time for him to go to the cross, that he walked up to the cross and he kissed the cross before he was crucified. Now, what are you hearing today? Just the exact opposite. You're hearing hirelings from the pulpit that are enemies of the cross of Christ. The cross is where the power of God unto salvation is revealed, friends. And the Holy Ghost he continuously hovers over the top of that cross. That's where he operates. And yet today, we're taught to stay away from the cross, and we're taught that if you do go to the cross and you suffer the afflictions that drive you to the cross, somehow or another, that's the devil. Can someone help me with that? 1-866-582-9933. How is that the devil? No, the devil tries to keep you away from afflictions. He just wants to allure you down a road where at the end of the day he can have your soul. But I can't find that in Scripture. In thy faithfulness thou has afflicted me that I might learn thy statutes. That's what King David said in Psalm 119. The afflictions that they drive you to the cross of Christ, that is a grace of the Lord. He's driving you unto him. That's a blessing, not a curse. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten to inflict pain or suffering, to humble or to improve. Right? As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Therefore, here's the message, repent. Revelation 3. I'm going to keep going. Look at the example of Luke 15, the prodigal son. What brought him back home? The hardships of life. And he realized, he came to himself, the Bible tells us, that he sinned before God and his own father. Who did he return to? His own family. That was a blessing, not a curse. But yet again, what do we see today? Well, the hirelings in the pulpit, especially the women in the church, they love to go devil hunting, don't they? Everything's the devil. No, it's not. Not if it drives you to our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the Lord. And he's faithful to do so. And it's interesting, on a side note to that, what other people can get away with, this boy does not get away with it. That's a blessing, not a curse. It totally is a blessing. As hard as it is to go through at times, well, you know what? We all have to go through them. Through many trials and tribulations do we enter into the kingdom of heaven, 14:22 of Acts, right? Let's get back over to these guys. If you want to call in and weigh in, please do. But I'm just telling you, in contrast to the modern-day hirelings, what message are they preaching today? And then put that up to those that were martyred. What message were they preaching? I can tell you right now, the message isn't God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. God loves you through a demonstration of the cross. That is John 3:16. His love is always done and has been done through demonstration, exhibition, in action, deeds, not words. 1 John 3:18. Okay, what is it now? Lip service. Okay, but it's not God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. The message is, and it always has been, repent for your sins before God with the knowledge of his law, Romans 3:20, to drive you to the foot of the cross, where that grace in John 8, verse 11, tells you, go and sin no more. That's what the message is. See, when you hold to that message, you're going to have people out there saying, oh, you know, sometimes, Bradley, I agree with what you said here, but I don't agree with what you said there. But I can probably 9 times out of 10 get the right answer out of those kind of people. What is it that you didn't agree with? What you didn't agree with was the truth that convicted you of your compromise, your sins before God. See, and yet when you look at Mark 10 and you think of the young ruler that went up to Jesus and he tried to justify himself, the Lord comes out and says, you know what the commandments are? Exodus 20, the moral law, not ceremonial law. Make distinction. And he went through all those things, and what did the rich young ruler do? He justified himself. I've kept all those since from my youth, he said. And then what did Jesus do? Oh, did he give him a pass and say, oh, I'll see you in heaven, dog? No, that's not what he said. The Bible says he looked on whom he loved, and he said it's this one thing that holds you back. And what was it? His riches. What his heart was attached to. Oh, and I get it all the time. Oh, you know, Bradley, you know, says just sometimes you're kind of like a mad dog. And well, let me ask you, why aren't you a mad dog? Why aren't you angry with sin? And I've said this so many different times, I just wrote about it a couple weeks ago. It's interesting that in Malachi 2:2, it tells us that if we lay it not to heart, we're going to be judged. We're going to bring a curse upon ourselves. How come you're not laying it to heart? How come you're not angry with the compromise of sin that offends God? Because you're not born of God. That's why. In the book of Jeremiah tells us that we're not valiant for the truth. God judges nations because of that. Why are you not valiant for the truth? Why are you sitting back and judging everything I do when I'm merely preaching the word of God? You're shooting the messenger. That's what you're doing. And that's okay. It comes with the territory. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. And so can my father. Right? But I get so tired when I hear from, and it's not from a lot of people, by the way, but from the people, you know, sometimes I just, you know, it's the way you say it. Oh, really? Really? It's the way I say it. That's a good one. The way I say it. I'm driving on a canyon, and all of a sudden, there's no warning signs, and I look up in front of me, and someone's standing there yelling at me saying, stop, 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 or else you're going to go over to the end of the cliff. Am I going to get out and yell at that person for the way they said it, or am I going to get out and thank that person for saying it the way they said it? You see how ignorant man becomes? It's like that analogy that I believe John Calvin gave of the man that went to bed with his dog in his house, and the dog kept barking and barking and barking, and he said, what are you barking for? And of course, the dog didn't talk, so he didn't answer back. He went down there and he kind of tapped him on the head with the paper and said, knock it off, I'm going to sleep. Gets back upstairs, gets in bed again, and all of a sudden the dog starts barking again, a little bit louder this time. The guy gets out of bed, he's angry. What does he do? He goes downstairs, grabs the paper, and starts to hit him a little bit harder. The dog sticks his tail between his legs, runs away. Man goes upstairs, gets back into his warm bed, and all of a sudden the dog frantically started to bark. Something's like wrong. Well, what does the man do? He gets out of bed and he goes into his closet, grabs his shotgun, and shoots his dog dead. Isn't that what I'm comparing with why the disciples were martyred, with faithful preachers, why they're persecuted by cowardly men? Isn't it interesting that they're being faithful witnesses like that dog was? Wasn't it John Calvin that said, listen, if you're going to, you know, as a matter of fact, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go over there right now, John Calvin, live radio, and I'll be that dog happily. And I'm going to finish that story in a minute. John Calvin said this. He said, a dog barks when his master is attacked. Would I be a coward if I saw that God's truth is attacked and you would remain silent? This is from a prophet, an apostolic prophet of God. See the difference in the age of the Spirit. And what people have accepted today is in contrast to the biblical preaching of the Holy Ghost. And he's not going to be straightened, the Bible tells us. But going back to the man that shot his dog dead. You know, it's interesting because after he shot the dog dead, he went back upstairs, and little did he know that someone was trying to break into his house. So he went back to sleep, and just moments later, the man that was breaking into the house, attempting to break into the house, that the dog was warning his master of, he breaks in and kills the master. That's exactly what sin does. I know many people think it's a game, but the Bible said that the end of sin is death, period. Romans 6:23. And it's exactly what we're seeing today, friends. We're not even seeing preachers preach out against it anymore. And when I tell you the story, and I had Ray Comfort on some time ago, probably a month and a half ago, talking about what do you see in the American church? And I gave him a quote by D. James Kennedy, who was a friend of mine before he passed on. And it was D. James Kennedy that told me, Bradley, the greatest advocate to the abortion industry and the gay agenda in the United States is the American church that remains silent. That's right. They're the responsible party. Why? Because they're preaching a message of tolerance. One, the Lord did not give them a commandment to preach. Just the exact opposite. Let's get back to the characteristics of a prophet, okay? His prophecies are parried, his truth brings torments, but his voice is never void. He is the villain of today and the hero of tomorrow. He is excommunicated while alive and exalted when he's dead. That's exactly right. Yep. He's dishonored with epithets when breathing and honored with epitaphs when he's dead. Yep. Oh, you better watch out for that guy's ministry. Watch out. Why? Because he's telling you too much truth that you refuse to adhere to? Yep. Yep. I had a guy tell me today, he said, Bradley goes, I've seen that you've been spot on for the years that he's been listening to the show. He goes, you've been right about virtually everything that you've said. And I said, yeah, because that's because I'm holding to the word of God. It's always safe to stay there, right? Fact of the matter is, if we all did that, we'd be in a better place today, wouldn't we? We can still be reformers, workers of reformation, by getting back to the Word of God. That's mercy and grace, and it's still here, and it's still available today. Going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Sons of Liberty Media.com.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Hi, this is Mike Detmer, congressional candidate for Michigan's 8th District. You know, it seems like truth is in real short supply these days unless you know where to find it. And you can find it with my friend Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. If you're not looking for truth, by all means, listen to somebody else.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. Benny from Mississippi is calling in. And Benny, I seen that you've been up for about 31 minutes, my friend. I had to refresh that. GCN just told me that you were on. Sorry for the delay. What say you, my friend?
Oh, everything's good today, Brad. I just wanted to comment, you know, the churches, you know, were they...
I just lost you, Benny. You still there?
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you now. Yep, go for it.
Okay. The government controlled school systems and universities are not of God, never have been of God, and never will be of God. And any church that's not proclaiming that is not of God, in my opinion. And they've taught girls to go out and have jobs and careers rather than obey the word of God. And out of 65 years of living, I see that is the biggest problem in America. And that's, you know, one of the biggest problems right there because they're not teaching kids about God anymore. But, you know, that was pretty much all I wanted to say on that.
Well, it's totally true. And, Benny, I've done, you know, it's what I can always go back to. Paul always gave his testimony. I've done 365 high schools in this country in 25 different states. And it's exactly right. We did a high school in Pensacola, Florida, speaking of which, and what was interesting to note is there was five churches around this high school. And I went in, I did the high school assembly. One of the kids grabbed me and said, thank you so much for crossing the lines. They're trying to figure out, the young people are, is where is the love of these said pastors and where is the love of their parents to drop them off for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, to be raised up by their sworn enemies. I mean, those kids, no wonder why they're confused. No wonder why they're angry at the older generation, Benny.
Well,
it's exactly
well,
why. Look, they know they're being lied to.
Look what you got in as head of the public education system, you know. I mean, what the president appointed is over the public education. I don't even remember the guy's name, whatever it is, but...
Yeah, I'm with you, and I totally appreciate it, and we do a whole show on that. Matter of fact, this up-and-coming week, we're going to have Alex Newman talking about that very topic on Tuesday, and the UN initiative, and it goes way beyond International Baccalaureate. It goes way beyond No Child Left Behind. It goes way beyond Common Core. And so I'm sure we probably better brace ourselves for what's up-and-coming on this too, friends, but we can blame nobody but ourselves for allowing the federal government to illegally indoctrinate our children, period. Okay, we can't blame anybody else except ourselves. So I got one more segment. Thank you for the call. Sorry for the delay. Thank you, GCN, for letting me know, period. I wanted to highlight the fact that, too, this is important, that William Booth said the chief danger that confronts the coming century will be basically Christianity without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, heaven without hell. Yep. Is that what's happening today? Absolutely it is. As a matter of fact, the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, said that a time would come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have the clowns entertaining the goats. Is that what's happening? Yep. That's what's happening. I want you to listen to this, because this is Charles Spurgeon as well. He said, the man who God means to be a laborer in his harvest must not come with soft and delicate words and flattering doctrines concerning the dignity of human nature and the excellence of self-help and of an earnest endeavors to rectify our lapsed condition and the like. He said, such mealy-mouthedness is what he said, mouthedness, may God curse, for it is the curse of the age. Those that don't love you enough to tell you the truth, friends, is the curse of the age. And the Lord equates it to murder, by the way, and hate. Read Leviticus 19:17. Spurgeon goes on, the honest preacher calls a sin, transgression of God's law, 1 John 3:4, a sin. He calls a spade, and says to men, you are ruining yourselves while you reject Christ. You are living on the borders of hell, and are ere long you will be lost to all eternity. There shall be no mincing the matter. You must escape from the wrath to come by faith in Jesus, or be driven forever from God's presence and from all hope of joy. Doesn't the Bible tell us in 2 Corinthians 5, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men? That's exactly what it says. That's exactly what it says. Spurgeon says the preacher must take his sermons cut. He is not to file off the edge of the scythe for the fear that it should hurt somebody. He said the gospel is intended to wound the conscience and to go right through the heart with the design of separating soul from sin and self as the corn is divided from the soil. Do you see that today? This is why men of old were persecuted and martyred. Do you see this today in any sense of the word? Very little of it. And this kind of preaching is happening, friends, through the churches that are in the corner. The churches that are in the corner. Well, some will say, well, Bradley, but that's what Spurgeon said. Okay, that's fine. When you go over to Scripture, when Jesus came into the coast of Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am. What did they say? A little pansy with pink booties on, smacking sheep on the backside, telling the world everything is okay. No, that is not a faithful witness. And keep in mind, the same Holy Ghost that worked through Jesus also inspired the book of Proverbs through King Solomon when he said, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed, and faithful are the wounds of a friend. Kisses of an enemy are deceitful, and kisses are all you get from the pulpit on the mainstream platform today. Watch out, friends. They have not a care for your soul. They have a care to pick your pocket, period. Okay? Period. How did the disciples respond to Jesus? Well, they said, some say you're John the Baptist. Well, the one that was crying in the wilderness. The one that reproved King Herod for all of his evils in Luke 3. Whoa! Some say Elijah, oh, on Mount Carmel, 1 Kings 18. When the fire fell and all the false prophets were executed. Oh my goodness, people are saying Jesus is just like Elijah. And others said his disciples, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the one that was sent to that particular part of Israel to what? To the king's gates and also to the church's gate. And they both rejected him, and then there was a book of Lamentations. Isn't that right? 70 years he prophesied, and they didn't listen to a word he said. And then he saith unto them, but who say you that I am? And Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, I want to get to this too, because people look at this as, you know, I just see that as being spiritually abusive. Wait a second. The Bible says that the righteous are made bold as lions. How come you're not bold as lions? And by the way, bold means forward to danger. Proverbs 28 verse 1. And isn't that what Scripture tells us of Jesus? That he preached not like the Pharisees? He spoke boldly. Whoa! And speaking of spiritual abuse, was it abuse when Jesus made a scourge of small cords when he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers of money and overthrew the tables in John 2:15? No, God is love. When he was rebuking the hypocrites in Matthew 23, that was love. Why? Because they rejected the counsel against themselves, the counsel of God. Okay? And on the other hand, when he was raising the dead, was that love? Absolutely. There's a balance, and a false balance is an abomination in the sight of God. We better understand what love is. God is love, period. Okay? Isn't it crazy how people don't know Scriptures enough to hold it to him? Was Jesus crucified? Yep. And when they were crucifying Jesus in John 19:15, what did they say? Crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but King Caesar. Whatever their hearts were attached to. That's why they crucified him. When I go to the end of the characteristics of the prophet, Leonard Ravenhill said he eats daily the bread of affliction while he ministers, but he feeds the bread of light to those who listen. He walks before men for days before he walks before God for years. He's a scourge to the nation before he's scourged by the nation. He announces, pronounces, and denounces. He has a heart like a volcano, and his words are as a fire. Boy, that sounds like Scripture. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? My goodness, friends. How scripturally illiterate many have become because they have gotten their eyes off of Scripture. And look what it is that they've accepted. Hirelings. Hirelings. And hirelings they are, friends. He is naturally sensitive but supernaturally spiritual. He has passion, purpose, and pugnacity. He is ordained of God but disdained by men. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no one wants to be a part of the good old boy club, friends. Let me tell you, they're worthless. Like Paul said in the book of Galatians, those that came with high recommendations, he said, they added nothing to me. Oh, it is, folks, in the American church. Folks, we need to get back to the Word of God. Hold to the Word of God and nothing else, friends. Okay? It's a sure foundation. It's putting our feet upon the rock. And when we have our feet upon that rock, remember, He is our high fortress. Love you about what we do. Talk to you in 23.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.